Welcome to Speech Tea, created by
Lauren Hastings
and Lauren Prather, also known as The Laurens.
This podcast is where we discuss research and clinical practice by sparking conversation within the Black community through social media tea. So,
grab your mug
and take a sip
of Speech Tea.
This podcast is sponsored by Keith R. Prather, your Legal Shield Senior Associate. Legal Shield protects and empowers you, your family, and your business by making smart, full-service legal coverage and identity theft protection simple and easy for all. At Legal Shield, we've made legal representation accessible and affordable. Legal Shield provides you with a network of dedicated law firms in 50 states and 4 Canadian provinces. Our law firms provide legal protection to millions of members, even in emergency situations, 24/7, 365 days a year. For more information on how to get individual, family, or business coverage online, visit PratherKR.WeAreLegalShield.com or contact Mr. Prather at PratherKR@LegalShieldAssociate.com.
Hey, hey, y'all. Happy New Year. Here is an unreleased episode to kick off the new year.
Hey, girl.
Hey.
I'm Lauren Hastings, but I call her LP.
And I'm Lauren Prather, and I call her Lolo.
And welcome to another episode of
Speech Tea. You laughed. You were like,
I laughed because it was a big dramatic pause right there. I was like,
because you was reading my lips, and I was like, well, let's just go because he's in Cincinnati Children's Internet. So,
right, you don't have like Teddy Riley.
Well, first of all, we don't have that at home anymore, anyway.
That's remember, right. That's right. You upgraded your internet. That's right.
Yes, the bay upgraded the internet.
We have a guest today.
We do, guys. We have some special guests.
You want to introduce the guest, LP?
Okay. So, full transparency. I am here, but I am not here. So, I normally will let our guests introduce themselves because they are just so awesome. And I truly appreciate and value each and every one of them because when I have need something or want to show representation in any kind of way, I can always call on them to be there. So I want to thank you all for that, but I want them to introduce themselves because I feel like it will be more impactful that way. So whoever wants to go first, we have two guys. We have two guests.
Doc, you want to go first?
as my glasses get pulled off of my face. My name is George Castle, Dr. George Castle, and I am a clinical assistant professor at New York University. I teach whatever they ask me to teach. So I teach a variety of classes around language development and also anatomy and physiology, neuroanatomy and physiology, etc. Critical eval of research, but I'm just happy and excited to be here. My passion, in addition to being a speech pathologist, is just to get more people interested in speech pathology. Mm-hmm. And so I'm here.
Yes, welcome, Dr. Castle. You gotta follow that up.
I know. I'm like, maybe I should have went first. You know, my name is Javen Marshall. I'm a clinical fellow, so I'm just in. Yeah, I'm just
ooh, we fresh meat.
Oh. Fresh. I'm a young buck. Yes. But I'm currently practicing in Charlotte, North Carolina. I work for a nonprofit, Charlotte Speech and Hearing Center. And man, I've been enjoying the ride. I'm still learning, trying to figure out what all would aspire to, do in this profession. But I'm really big on recruitment as well, especially when it comes to my community and just, our people,
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely the young men in the field.
Yeah. Well, before I get into my tea, I do want to share with you, if you haven't seen, that Embosla is doing an HBCU fair because we want to increase the knowledge that
we have programs at HBCUs. And another one that hasn't come out yet, we're going to have a doctoral grad fair to help increase Black doctoral students. So that will probably be in December, but we're waiting to see who wants to participate. But we're going to have to lump George back in. You know, he got off the board, but we're going to have to lump him back in some kind of way. Everybody trying to toss it on me and LP's plate. I'm like, listen.
He said it in the meeting. No. I was like, oh,
okay. We got to tell Javen that. So we were in Boswell board meeting. We were talking about, I don't know, it was some project or task, like delegating stuff. And we were like, George, what about you? He was like, no.
I was like, that was rude.
Tell him it was a respectful decline.
It was respectful, no.
But here's the thing. That was what, 3-4 years ago? Mm-hmm. I totally get it now. So I understand.
One of the things that I've learned is when you're trying to do a lot, you have to really understand and block out like time for yourself, time for your family, or else you're going to burn out.
Right.
And when you burn out, you're no good for anybody. So it literally took me just learning how to, like, at first you feel bad. You're like, oh, I don't want them to feel like I'm rude. Right. I don't want them to feel like I'm pulling my weight. I don't want them to feel like whatever. Yeah. And then after a while, you're just like, yo, if I keep on saying yes to everything and everybody, I have no time for myself. Yeah. So it's a respectful no, but it's a firm no. Like, I'm sorry, I can't. I just can't. So, I'm learning that.
Yeah, I'm learning that too. Like, I had to sit down and say, what do I want to do professionally? And if it aligns with it, I'll see. If not, I'm going to say no. So that's just where I am with that. But we are good getting off tangent. So let me keep with the script. So since I've been in school, y'all, I've actually put my Keurig to good old use. So I got recently, it's a Kroger brand, but it's the French vanilla cappuccino.
Okay. That sounds like the gas station version. Like, I like gas station cappuccino. It'd be sweet and hot.
It's good.
I like it.
And then I got a cup for my new job.
Okay.
So, yep.
That's nice.
A cup and a toothler and all the stuff like that.
Okay. You saying a toothbrush. What did you say?
Toothler.
Oh, okay. That's cute. Like the water thing. Oh, okay.
Yep.
Oh, so sweet.
Put your phone on here. So when you're like doing virtual therapy, get your phone propped up. They treat me well.
That's good.
So what you drinking?
Oh, Lord, y'all. So I am on coffee. This is probably my last cup for the day because I feel like I'm going to crash after this. But yes, this is what? My third cup of the day.
Third cup. I was about to say what cup?
My third cup. And I think right now it's just for like comfort. Like, I don't even think it's keeping me awake. I think it's just because it's cold and it's just for comfort. So yeah.
Oh, let me tell y'all why she's on her third cup, y'all. So she found out recently that her poster at ASHA convention got an award. And so it's going to be in person and virtual. So the virtual one, you know, LP, she got to, you know, make it all fancy and video with all these, you know, graphics and stuff. So that's why she's been drinking all this coffee. Because is your deadline today? Tomorrow?
Yes. So when I get off, you know, after this, I will finish the final touches. I just need to do 3 more things and then I'll be ready to publish.
Yeah. It wasn't really like this before she found it. When she found out she got an award, she was like, oh, I got to.
make it amazing. Yeah, you can get this win. It's called like a meritorious award. I didn't even know that was a thing, and I was like, oh wow, this is kind of cool, or this is really cool. So
big congrats.
Thank you. So yeah, I'm on my last leg. But what y'all drinking on?
Yeah, what y'all drinking?
Oh, disclaimer, our guests usually come with fanciness, so I always like to see how fancy the guests come.
Right.
Oh, Lord. Everyone, I just got a cup of water.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, kind of glass.
I realized real quick, you know, I got to stay hydrated with these kids. I mean, getting on the flow and, you know, crisscross. Yeah. I can't crisscross applesauce, y'all. And I almost did that one day and caught a shrimp. And that's when I realized I need to drink some more water. So, yeah. Hey, I kicked my leg and I almost killed a child, man. So, you know, I figured then maybe you need to just stick with this water. So that's what I've been sticking to.
Stretches in too. Right. Okay.
Mm-mm. And I have some coconut flavored beverage that originated in Mexico.
Oh, see what I'm saying?
That resembles water. And that's what I'm gonna say about it.
Coconut flavored beverage that originated in Mexico.
That's correct.
That's what I'm saying. Y'all be having this fancy stuff.
That's vodka or tequila.
Right. Or rum or tequila. Well,
Mexico isn't known for their vodka. Nor their rum.
Tequila. Maybe. Possibly. It's okay if you have that. It's okay.
There it is. Beverage originating in
Mexico. George says, I'm not incriminating myself on the pie yet.
Yeah. Whatever you have to do to get through a Monday night, listen.
Right? Okay.
No.
He's turning up on a Monday.
No.
Well, you know, George recently had a birthday, y'all.
Yes.
How are you? Got 25?
Yeah, I'm upwards of 25, a little bit. You know, a couple gray hairs, you know, popping in.
I'm dead. Hey, I'm black on crack.
I'm 13. I'm doing good.
First of all, I didn't know you were a fellow OVOer. Like, that's why we bond so well.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You go, oh, bye-bye.
Right.
And beauty. Christian's here. He always wants Christian to find himself in front of the camera too.
George has a party at his house. Hi.
All right. I'll see you later, okay?
Okay. Bye, Daddy.
Oh, so cute.
And this is why I have to say no, because I gotta have time for them.
Right. Yeah, that's understandable.
So LP, what's the social media tea this week?
Okay, so by the time you guys hear this, it will no longer be October, but today is Halloween, and there has been a lot of trends of celebrities, like, I don't know, I like watching when they switch into different people or like other celebrities. So one of the big ones is Lori Harvey. She recreated Beyonce, a lot of different Beyonce. One actress, y'all know her, she's so cute. She played on the Disney Channel, but she did like Janet Jackson. It's just all the celebrities doing like different like costume remixes with photo shoots. And I was like, dang, I wish I had it like that. You know what I'm saying? But I want to say big news is that Black Panther comes out. And who dropped a single that we haven't heard in approximately 2,465 days, according to Time Magazine? Rihanna. She dropped a single. Yeah. And it is titled Lift Me Up, and it's from the new Black Panther album. So, Panther. That's right. I thought I said something else. But okay. So, yeah, that's what's going on social media. So, all you re-Navy people, or, you know, the Navy fans, you know, Beehive, and they have the Navy. And, yeah. And then, of course, I think she's doing the Super Bowl as well.
Yeah, she is. She's going to have time.
I'm sure there's a tour, album, something happening.
Listen, everybody's kicking up their tours again. Like, full-fledged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say this. If you haven't seen Usher in Vegas, you should do it. Awesome show. He'll be there till July of 2023.
Yeah, I got short. Right. I feel like everybody is going to see Usher. Like, every other week, somebody's on my timeline on Facebook, like, oh, I'm gonna go see her show. I'm like,
oh, you should go. It's worth it. We should go there instead of Houston, but okay. Oh, it's neither here nor there.
We might need to make that happen. anyway, thinking about people dropping stuff that's been a year, we decided to have our guests on because, you know, we always like to talk about things that aren't that prominent in our field and people don't talk about it. And I think LP and I have said it before that our field is predominantly female, predominantly white female. And so, and y'all can correct me on the statistic, but males in general in speech pathology, is it 3 or is it 5?
It's 3. Is it 3?
I don't know.
It's closer to the 3. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. I went to a session at ASHA and they were talking about speech pathologists and audiologists and they said 3 to 5. So I didn't know which one was. But
are we talking about black males or are we talking
about just males in general?
Oh, no. So males in speech pathology, the last statistic is more than that. It's something like 17-18%.
I thought that was a little higher, but males is probably low.
Males, we're talking like
one. Oh, yeah. Oh, for real. It is like one.
Yeah. Thinking if black SLPs make up 3, I knew black male SLPs were probably one. Ooh. We'll round up and say 1.
Yeah, we were like 4 point something altogether.
You mean altogether like black male audiologists and black male SLPs? No,
he's talking about black men and women.
Oh,
black men and women.
Gotcha.
No.
Gotcha. So we got a couple unicorns.
Too few. It's just it's not a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So we want to have you guys on to kind of talk about, like, first, what made you get into the field? especially, you know, and that's predominantly female first. And then to realize that being a black male is like a pinky toe. You know, how...
Like a little nub,
right. So I'm going to ask... is it Javon? How you pronounce it?
Javon.
Okay. Saying it the whole time. Javon, I want you to answer the question, like, what got you in the field? And then George, because you've been in the field, like, what's kept you in the field?
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
So we'll start with you.
Okay. Well, what got me into the field? I knew nothing about speech therapy at first. I went to school to become an occupational therapy mate, like occupational therapist. And didn't even realize that, you know, like some of my best friends, they had speech, you know, like it was in, I think, my 5th grade year. Yeah, when I was in elementary school, because I used to get mad because one of my good friends, he used to come back with candy all the time. I'm for real. I was like, bro, like, show some love. What I got to do to get in this class? Like, that's just my speech teacher. But he really didn't tell me much about it. And I saw the lady around the school, but I really didn't understand the concept really, you know, even then. So went to Tuskegee. Hey, it's always going to be my HBCU.
Yay!
So, yeah, I went to Tuskegee and started there and just realized, man, OT really wasn't all of what I thought it was going to be. All love to, you know, all of my OT friends and all, but it just wasn't my thing at the time. I was good at it, but I was just like, man, I feel like I can do more. I like to talk. I like to, you know, communicate with others. I'm a little childish too. So I feel like, you know, me being with the kids just made sense, you know.
One in the same. Exactly.
So I actually did some research because I really didn't know anything about it. My mom's a hairstylist, and she had a friend who was a speech therapist, and she told my mom to tell me to look into speech. And I was just like, okay. So I did, and I mean, I was interested. I went on the ASHA website, didn't know what ASHA was about. I just saw it up there, and you know, just wanted to get some more information. And I did. And I was like, okay, this seemed like it's pretty cool. I still didn't really understand the concept of it. But I was like, I think I want to, you know, pursue this. Like, I feel like I can make a difference. It's, you know, I don't feel like I'll be stagnant because I get bored easily as well, you know. And there I decided to transfer. And I got in contact with great mentors at the University of West Georgia, Jarius Matthews, you know, mentor. I mean, Twyla Perryman, you know, my other moms, you know, Dr. Sullivan, all of those. I mean, they really helped me to soar, you know, and get me to where I am now, you know. So I really, hey, always a shout out to them. And then through them, I met other mentors like you guys. And it was just like, wow, it's kind of full circle. Look at that. It's me. You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, hey, definitely. Hey, y'all helped me out, especially through the grad program. Dr. Castle, man. Doc, he done been there. Where I'm like, hey, man, I'm stressing. I'm done. I can't do this. And he was like, I mean, he know, you know, that's just the reality of it. But, you know, like, he just was like, hey, man, get a regimen, you know, set it out. You got to be real meticulous about what you do. Can't be messing with these women right now. You got to focus. He told me the real, you know.
I mean, yeah, that's what you need. It's the truth, what you need.
Even as a female, like, in graduate school,
yeah.
Relationships,
yeah. We all got
It was struggle city. It's just like, exactly. You got to be about just for these 2 years.
Let me that's it. Something. That's it. But I'm grateful for that knowledge that, you know, it's just imparted. And I mean, from there, I just felt like I began to thrive. I was put in positions and, you know, situations that I didn't ask to be in. But, you know, because of just being out there and just networking and, you know, being pushed in areas where I was like, maybe I should step back. It was like, oh, no, you're not. You're going to get it. Yeah. And I'm grateful. I'm definitely grateful. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. So, hey, this is as much as a learning lesson. And, you know, hey, I need to get a notepad because y'all been dropping down since the beginning. I need to go ahead.
Well, you know what? I'm going to add a shameless plug to your story that you forgot to mention. So we talk about Embosla a lot in this podcast. Okay. And so that's how I met you. And I was so impressed that you were the only one in your cohort, your class, your school to come to Embosla. And I remember finding your Instagram and he was just like, yo, y'all should be here. And he was taking all these videos.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he was like, I'm telling everybody. Then at Asha 2019, I think it was 2019 or 18. Yeah, 19. Yeah, because that's when I met you in April. And then, yeah. And he brought his whole crew. We were at the bottom table. And I just see like 8 people. He's like, hey, Lauren, so these are my classmates I was telling you about.
That's
dope. I was like, oh wow. So yeah,
definitely cool. Big on networking. And honestly, I think that was when I just knew. I was like, I'm all in. And going to Embosla to see like us, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To see us thriving the way we were, I was just like, wow, I really can do this. Because like you said, when you in a cohort full of, you know, people who don't look like, you know, really don't understand what you're going through at the time, it's just like, man, you know, feel like I'm by myself. But to have those mentors, you know, that's there to push you, and then just to see other people, you know, who have gone through what you're going through and be like, hey, you okay? We've been through it.
And
understand that, hey, it's not just a me thing. It's like I'm the footsteps or the stepping stones that somebody else will have to cross one day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To elevate them. So, you know, it's bigger than me.
Yeah.
I always say Embosla is the only place where you can be a mentor and be mentored.
That's it.
So, we all have soared since Embosla, like all of us. We really
have.
All right, George. So, what's keeping you in this thing? 1%, dude.
Right.
Just saying.
So let me just start by saying, like, Javen, for real, when I met him, because I met him when he was just thinking about this and going into this and sort of like in his real beginning stages, and he was impressive. Like you said, Lauren, he was, you know, he was one of the few people, you know, like you have some people that, well, I guess I'm telling my age now, but I feel like I'm older now. And you meet people and you're like, he gonna be all right.
You're right. Exactly.
He gonna be all
right. Right. Mm-hmm.
It's a good one right here.
Yeah.
Let me give him my number. Like, he gonna be all right. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you
especially when you go to a convention by yourself. Like, that's
That's next level.
Understand when you go to a convention for the first time by yourself. That alone is like,
you're curious, you're open,
you're
hungry. And that, you know, when I meet people, especially Black males like that, I'm like, all right, you know, this, like, I gotta support this brother, I gotta encourage this brother. This brother's gonna make it. I gotta, you know. So he made it, you know, he graduated. Even when, you know, things feel rough, and things feel rough for everybody, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I was just really happy to see him make it. I was really happy to see him win. Now he's on the other side and he's going to be an excellent mentor.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be an excellent mentor. And so, like you said, Lauren, and Basel is one of those places where you can get fed and you can feed other people as well. Right. So as I'm meeting folks like Javen and various other people, I'm, you know, other people are pouring into me.
Yeah.
Other people are pouring into me. And so part of what has kept me here is the encouragement of people that are, you know, more advanced than me in terms of the, you know, the career. And then also just being able to, I wear a lot of different hats, but one of the hats is obviously to interface with just like up and coming students. And that energizes me in, you know, in a special way. But also being able to clinically still practice. So I still practice clinically. So I, you know, I keep my feet on the ground just to, you know, stay sharp and just to continue to see the impact that I have. The combination of both really helped me to keep on going. Not to mention my family, they hungry. They like to eat.
Yesterday's price is not today's.
Exactly. You know, so you know, it keeps me driven to keep on going forward because I got this mortgage to pay, and you know, my kids need to eat.
Yeah. And before we get any deeper, I do want to give you your kudos, Dr. Castle. I gave a lot to Katrina on my first episode of this season. I talked about my story going from an SLPD program to a PhD program and that whole bit. But Dr. Castle was another person who stayed on me, even when I was like, I'm not doing this ish no more. It is. I'm hanging up coat. It is. It's over. But Phil was like, no, it's more than your GPA. And I think the more he kept telling me that, I was like, okay.
I'm gonna do that.
Listen. When I've over the years, I've like come in contact with so many students, so many people, and one thing that like people narrow so much down to numbers, like metrics, and what they don't realize is like being a PhD or even getting an EDD. Like all of that stuff is not necessarily about what you can do on paper in terms of your scores, but it's about your skill set. It's about what you know how to do. And Lauren, you have a tremendous skill set. You have a wide skill set. I mean, look at, you're on a podcast right now. You know what I mean? Like not everybody has a podcast. Not everybody thinks about doing these things. Not anybody is on the board of Embasdo or other boards or your state association or plans a convention.
Look, he's trying to go down my resume rule.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, she does.
Keep on going. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Not everybody had a private practice. You know, like all these different things. And that all makes for like, this person is industrious. Mm-hmm. This person can succeed. Mm-hmm. I don't care what her GPA says. This person knows how to do it.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes I recognize this before the person themselves recognize this, right? So you may be thinking, I don't have what it takes. And I'm like, yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Oh, LP yes, knows all the conversations.
You don't know it yet, but yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you don't worry about that GPA. Yes, you do. You can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have a lot to offer the world, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to keep on reminding you that you have a lot to offer the world. And when you graduate, you can remember that I said you have a lot to offer the world.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I saw that and you, I was just like, no, don't worry about that. Keep going. Don't worry about that. Keep going.
Yeah.
And
that's low key. I want to drop a little gem. Like, because in our field, our master's program will take you through the ringer, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, I did stuff to build my confidence. It was just like, oh, I'm doing stuff and I don't recognize it. Like I just wrote a bio for a family friend who's gonna feature me in something, and I read it. I was like, that's a lot. And I had my aunt proofread it, and she was like, whew, I like she forgets sometimes too, right? And so, and then too, I say it all the time on my Instagram, like, I want to sprinkle some melon. And I know this is a little bit off topic, but it's like, with our field being predominantly white, I feel that we have to be intentional about getting to the table, right? Mm-hmm. And it really irks my nerves when I see us Black people on the gram complaining. And in these 2 months of school, I've realized politics drive social order and classism. So let's take it to our field. Hmm. Politics drive our field. So if we're not at the table at these committees making our voice known, and I'm going to call out Gerald because he was just here on our other episode when he was talking about the cultural competence, and he was at the table debating with the people. No, it needs to be 2 hours, not one. Mm-hmm. But what if he didn't step up to the plate? You know what I'm saying? And so it takes us saying, okay, you don't have to do it like me, but I'm just saying we have to make sure we are intentional about our voice and using it and being mm-hmm. on social media or being in our little crew of people and just talking about it is not going to be the change. We have to be at the table. So, and I've seen the dial move with me just being on these different committees, especially SIG 1. I'm always bringing up stuff. And so, that's...
It's a good transition because I feel like there's this big word that I've been saying for forever. I'm just like, oh, everybody wants to listen now. Power. It's a power structure, right? Like, it's all about who has the Navy, who has the Army. Yeah. And being in a field that was actually started, from what I understand, as a good old boys club, per what Gerald said, you had to basically be invited into. And now seeing the dynamic change from male to majority female, and then back, you know, sprinkle here and there some male, and then some of them who have like seasoning on them, you know what I'm saying? And so for both of you all, like, my question to you is, how have you navigated in certain spaces? Like, has there been any kind of adversity that you feel like, you know, maybe was put on you as a stereotype, or has there been some more of a praise? Because I know for Black students, we love seeing Black men as teachers. We love seeing Black men in these roles because it's not what we see so oftenly viewed, right? And so for you all in your career, and I know, Damien, you just, you know, you got your feet wet, but you've experienced some stuff, right? We don't just invalidate your experiences, but like, what are the types of things, and it, because this could too help other people in other disciplines as well that are maybe having the same kind of struggle. So any adversities, or if not, like, you know, advice for like how to maybe keep a positive attitude or just navigate the space that you're in. That was pretty loaded, but you get the gist.
I'm glad I'm starting out. I got to learn the word imposter syndrome. Like, I got to learn what that was to understand. Like, I dealt with that. And, you know, I was just talking to my mentors again. I mean, I talked to Dr. Castle, I talked to some other men in the field. I was just like, look, man, like, I feel like I don't feel like I belong. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what's going on. I mean, I feel like I'm always shining. I'm always the one, you know, who's not afraid to take that lead, to take the step, to, you know, go out and network, socialize, you know, just build relationships with people. And then, I don't know, like, through, I guess, that transition from undergrad where you feel like you're the top dog, and then going into grad school where you have all these other top dogs.
Right.
It was just different for me. You know what I mean?
And you went from an HBCU to a PWI.
So. That would in itself.
Yeah. And I've done that. And that's a
lot. That was a lot. That was, it definitely was a lot. And I guess even like this transition now from going from grad school to, you know, being in the profession, it's like, I'm requiring so much of myself. And then, you know, you also have the spotlight because we are the unicorn as well. And right now I feel like I'm trying to find out, like, where am I? Where am I supposed to be in all of this? Like, what do I want to, you know, specialize in? What is, you know, what goals do I have for myself as far as, like, I know what I want to do, but where am I going? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the path just seems really blurry for me right now. So it has been kind of stressful on that end because it's like, wow, like, you the spotlight, you everywhere, you know, but at the same time, you lost. So it does become quite intimidating, you know, and, you know, that sense of fear is there, you know, a sense of anxiousness because, like, I go into these communities and I see, you know, like, hey, representation is not there. And then at the same time, you know, you want to be able to advocate. And then you're also trying to understand, you know, like, am I, how do I put this? Like, am I overdoing it sometimes? You know what I mean? Like,
I do it all the time. No, I'm going to say that right now. No, you know, I
get it. But then at the same time, I feel like, am I not doing enough?
You know, right. Like, I get the,
between yourself, that battle you have between yourself. And I feel like lately that's kind of where I've been, you know, and I'm just like, man, I know it's going to get better. I know things are going to fall in line. I know this is still like a learning curve for me. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. And, you know, I have been prepared, you know, to advocate, to give great therapy, good therapy. I mean, I'm still learning, you know, but at the same time, you know, you have to give yourself that grace.
Yeah.
And I'm still learning how to give myself that grace, but it can be difficult. I feel like I hope that answered the question because I feel like I just been it for a second.
No, that's okay.
We have that effect on people, you know?
Yeah, they let loose and say they're real.
But that's the reality of it.
Just know, I mean, LP and I went through the same thing. I would say the loss part is more of a male thing, but like in a sense of not knowing what you want to specialize in, that's going to take a couple of years. But I will say, because my first couple of years was in a Title I school, so I totally understand when you're like, the disparity, the injustice, how can I help, right? You go home. I will be like completely transparent. That first year out of school, every Friday I was having wine. Like I was like, it was rough because they own you in school and then you go out in the field and people have stepping on their paperwork. And that was rough. And then, you know, just seeing people of low socioeconomic status or Black people just struggle through the system. It's a lot to take on. So yeah, find that balance, bro. You gotta get your glass of wine every Friday. Do what you gotta do.
And I feel like too, when you level up in life, it's like you start over and go through that same phase. So like when she was saying, like, you we've been through it, I was like, I'm really in that place right now. Like everybody's like, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I was like, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. Like, I just want to graduate. Like, you know, he brought me here, he'll get me through the end. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that's in my head. So like each level that you progress in, I feel like you just go through a new struggle, and it gives you a lot of strengths and a lot of skill sets that you can carry over in each level. And I've learned that a lot too. Like, you just find new things that you didn't know you were able to do. And you were like, oh, I'm smart enough to do that. Oh, I have that skill set. I have that talent. Thank you, God. Like, okay. Like, you know, so I mean, yeah, I think it's just an ongoing thing. And I know Dr. Castle probably got a lot. He's a wise man.
I don't know about being wise, but I'm learning. I think just like all of you said, you have various levels, that like new level and new challenges, right? Mm-hmm. So when I was a clinician, my first few years, maybe my first 3 to 5 years, I was trying to find who I was as a clinician. Mm-hmm. And the way to do that is to expose yourself to various things.
Yeah.
So I started off, you know, working in a school as my full-time job, but I also did early intervention and I also did medically complex cases all at the same time. So it was like, you know, my day job, my 8 to 3 was in a school. And then I was early intervention, there's, you know, birth to 3. And then interspersed. There was medically complex cases. So I got to experience everything at the same time. And it sort of helped me to figure myself out, figure out what I liked, what I didn't like, what I can do. And being a, you know, and so being a Black man, number one, you're a unicorn, right? And so, you know, some of the adversity to your question, some of the adversity, when I graduated with my master's, I was like 24. So here I am, a 24-year-old Black man. In the case of, I think the most adversity I had was when I was going into seeing like adults with dysphagia and aphasia. Mm. And so I'm a 24-year-old Black man coming into the house of, you know, 67-year-old patient with, you know, left side facial droop. And her husband is looking at me like, what do you know about this stuff? Can you help my wife? Like, do you know what you're doing? And they would like question me. What school do you go to? Like, do you have your master's? But and I'm, and, you know, and so it on one hand, it's intimidating because these people are like really coming for you. Like, you're not qualified to be here. What are you doing here? On another hand, it's empowering because you're like, look at this Black boy work. Look at me work. And so I would come in, I'm like, yes.
Now your wife can swallow.
Now your wife can swallow. Yes. You're welcome. Welcome. Right?
You're welcome.
You're welcome. And the Black boy did it. So, you know, it was, so you get this sort of, you have to face the adversity. You get a chance to build your confidence. To say, yeah, I can do this. This is something I can do.
Yeah.
And then you get to the next level where, you know, you become, you know, a doctoral student. You know, I became, obviously, the doctoral journey is a journey in and of itself, right?
And so, then at Vanderbilt, let's add that.
And then at Vanderbilt.
The Vanderbilt's like, one, two, okay, that's enough.
So Vanderbilt, you know, is rigorous. It's, you know, it's the number one rated, you know, graduate program, and they have expectations for their graduates to look like the number one rated graduate program, right? So there's a lot of requirements at Vanderbilt that aren't necessarily at other places. Expectations, and of course, the caliber of people that you meet are all top notch. So Javen talked about imposter syndrome. You get in there and you're just like, whoa, wow, should I be amongst these people? Like, this person's working on their second doctorate. I'm on my first. Right. You got AUD PhDs. You got people with PhDs in other fields coming in. You got people that, you know, published several articles before they even got in. And you're just like, oh, wow. Ooh. You know, you have so many different labs. And so you go through that whole process of building your confidence again and realizing that you can do it. And, you know, so there's a lot of adversity. And every step of the way, you learn something about yourself. You learn about how you learn. You learn about how you how you cope. You learn just various, you learn to give yourself grace, like Javen said. You learn to give yourself grace and just say, you know what, I messed up on that one. Or, you know what, I struggled on that one. And it's okay. It's going to happen. But ultimately, it makes you stronger. And then, you know, I came out and became a professor. And then you have a whole nother learning curve, right? So you learn about who you want to be as a professor, how you want, and that takes some time. And, you know, being in a department where I am the only full-time Black faculty member. And I have
period.
Yes. So yeah.
You're the only Black period?
Period.
Wow.
The only.
Look, we're like, oh.
Like, dang. The only. And so we have some Black adjunct faculty members.
Okay.
But we don't have any Black full-time faculty members. And so...
Do you feel pressure?
You know, at first, yeah. and both from the faculty side and from the student side. So the student side, again, you have to go through that whole process of proving yourself, because they're looking at you like, you know, what qualifies you to come here and teach me at NYU, right? Like, what qualifies you to, like, why should I listen to you? Do you know what you're talking about? And you have some of the smartest minds, you know, really smart people asking you really smart questions, looking at you every day to say something smart. Like, they're sitting there to say something smart, say something smart, say something smart. Mm-hmm. And so there is that pressure. And so you go through the whole validation process again, like to prove yourself. And once you get past all of that, then you're trying to find yourself like, all right, so what kind of professor do I want to be? How do I want to really, like, once you feel like you got a hold of this, you know, giving these lectures and juggling these classes and emails and presentations and all the extra stuff, then you feel like, you know, well, now that I'm not like a rookie anymore, how do I really want to affect change? What kind of legacy do I want to leave? What kind of, you know, then you start to think about those types of things. And that's where I'm currently at, I guess, right now, where I'm sort of getting over that initial, you're a rookie professor, and just getting into, all right, so who do I want to be? It's a finding yourself all over again. And, you know, being the only Black faculty member, there is that intimidation sometimes, especially in the beginning. And, you know, you start to find different mechanisms. So, for instance, you know, as the sole Black faculty member, everybody that looks at me in every room that I'm in always knows that I'm the best dressed person in the room.
That's just the culture. Well, people know you that ain't in my look too though. Right. We come in swaggy. We be like, dang,
you know what, George? I was like that when I was in the school system. Like, you know, the kindergarten teachers be wearing the leggings and the sweaters and the boots. Right. And I was jealous, but I always wore my cardigan with my dress slacks, with my flats. Like, I was always looking just the part, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, it's not about like being cocky or being, you know, whatever, but it's about the way that you're going to be perceived.
Yes. Right.
Right. And I did this so that they knew, like, I'm professional. I deserve to be here. People treat you based on what they perceive, and everything that you give off, the way you dress, the way you speak, the way you look, the way you carry yourself, all that gives something to both faculty members, administration, but also your students. And, you know, so all that stuff matters. So I felt more of a pressure to present myself in a certain way earlier on. Now, you know, I'm a little bit more established, so I don't feel that pressure to like wear a suit every day. Like, I wore, you know, this sweater today in class, and I'm in front of, you know, the board teaching neuroanatomy and physiology in a polo sweater. Like, yo, I feel more comfortable, you know, code switching in front of them. I feel more comfortable just being my natural, authentic self. Because I've already established what they think of me. My impression is already, you know, there. So I don't have to worry about, you know, well, do they think that I'm smart, or do they think that I know what I'm talking about? You know, I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Because you've seen me for the last 7 years, right? Yeah. So, you know, it's so there's different levels, and every level you get a new set of challenges. And I'm sure, you know, once I feel comfortable with who I decide to be as a professor, that there'll be new challenges that I'm just going to have to sort of figure out again and say, oh, well, how do I do this? And, and, you know, and that's where mentors, and that's where your networking comes in. And that's where, your family comes in, where you just speak to folks and just say, how did you navigate this? How did you know, come through that? And, you know, so I'm learning.
Yeah. And it's funny you say be your authentic self, because I feel like, as a PhD student, but mostly as a clinician, I feel like I finally arrived to that point. Like, I don't care if this parent don't like me. I don't care if the people at the IEP table don't care for what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it because at the heart of it, I'm here for the parent and I'm here for the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say in the last few years, I've reached this whole, okay, I'm going to be the queen of code switching, or you're going to hear my slang come out, because I feel like that is another barrier in and of itself. But I just mm-hmm. think, like you said, I'll probably go through it again, you know, when mm-hmm. it's time for me to graduate, to see, like, you know, what I will morph into, or what I will want to be as a professor, or even, I don't know, because I keep saying I don't want to be a full-time professor, but I want to be where the change happens. I want to be in, like, maybe city council stuff, I don't know. But yeah, mm-hmm. I feel like it all just comes in waves and stages. Mm-hmm. Are you taking yeah. notes over there?
Man, let me tell you something. I got bullets everywhere. I'm really that type of person. Like, man, around my house, I just have, man, affirmations everywhere, and mm-hmm. take notes, and I go back to them and just refer back to them. You know, hey, I think that's one of the positive things about grad school and undergrad. That helped me out a lot, you know, mm-hmm. realizing, hey, take some notes. You know, I didn't do that when I was coming up, you know, in high school, and really mm-hmm. half of undergrad, but when I got to grad school,
you had to
let me tell you something.
Listen, notes. I got post-its everywhere.
Yeah, if I like to hear it, it's going down somewhere.
Yeah. So y'all both said y'all like to recruit, you know, more men to the field. So what are you guys currently doing, or what strategies are you using to recruit more men to the field? Are you a part of different committees or events? Like, what do you do to recruit more men?
Well. Like I said, I feel like kind of right now I've kind of been in a standstill, so really it's, you know, more so just when I'm in a school system and people ask me, hey, you know, what mm-hmm. are you? You're a speech teacher? No, I'm a speech therapist, and this is what we do, you know. And I talked to my young guys about that, and they really, I mean, I had one kid, he was like, I want to be like Mr. J when I grow up, and I was like,
oh, that's sweet. I love that when they
you know, you hey, that hit me hard. You
yeah.
Yes, but you know, I'm just playing. No. But no, seriously, it was just like, wow, you know. So it, simple things like that. I always felt like, man, it got to be something just so grand. You know, you have to mm-hmm. You got to be a part of this committee. You got to know, like, you need foot soldiers, just like you need those people in the those high places and are sitting. Mm-hmm. It starts with a foundation. So if you have that foundation, you know, at mm-hmm. the bottom, work in the field right now. And I feel like that's mm-hmm. where I am at the moment, you know, just out there working. I mean, I have done presentations in the past, you know, about recruitment, you know, diversity. Mm-hmm. All of that. But I mean, right now I feel like that's where I am. And I'm happy with that, you know, just mm-hmm. to be able to have that one-on-one connection, that ability to be able to, you know, really reach a child that's sitting across the table from me. And I mean, at a young age, because I truly believe that it starts, mm-hmm. you know, it starts way before high school. It starts way before middle school. Like, these kids know about doctors, lawyers, rappers,
right.
players. You know,
in the elementary school.
Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And here it is. You have an elementary you have an SLP in your school, if you know, and, right. and nobody nobody knows that the SLP right. is there, you know. Yeah. So just being able to advocate for ourselves and just being able to say, hey, I'm here. Yeah. And, you know, let me tell you what we do. And yeah, Mr. J, cool. But this is also what Mr. J is doing. Yeah. You know, so I really feel like that's just important. That's where I am right now. And I'm happy in that. I'm happy in that state. I'm happy in
that's
that
state.
That's
good. Yay.
Big up, Mr. J. Yeah, similarly, I do a lot of career days. So mm-hmm. I've done quite a few career days where I just get to go into the schools. I've been to elementary schools, I've done high schools. And I just go out and I speak. And I say, this is what we do. I show, much like I did while I was a board member of Mbasla with the high school recruitment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And stuff. like that in Basler. I do it just career days, various career days in Metro New York City area. So that's one way. And then just basically now, because, you know, I have a family and all of that, I've had to slow down, but I still get to recruit folks via podcasts, via panels. So I'm, you know, I'm doing various panels. I do like a panel every, month at least.
Yeah.
So panels, podcasts, you reach more people faster. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know,
we're realizing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Big time. And career days, and then just bringing awareness to it. You know, my son, he's 6. He knows what a speech pathologist is.
Mm-hmm.
And what I decided to do at an early on, just an early stage, all of my speech pathology related accolades, for instance, my degrees, are hanging in his toy area. So when he goes and sits down at his desk, he has a desk and he has a chest, Paw Patrol.
Cutie.
Right above it is my doctoral degree.
Wow.
I do that on purpose. Yeah. So he constantly, he sees, and he has pictures. The only pictures of me graduating are in his toy area. I don't have him around the house. I don't really care to see myself. I know what I look like. But everything that I have speech pathology related is in his toy area.
That's dope.
And so he can see me. And so he says when he grows up, he's going to be a scientist. When he grows up, he's going to be a scientist like daddy.
And
so, you know, that's the influence that I try to have. So it's basically just being an example, being, you know, being an example, word of mouth with people that I meet, just, you know, informing them about what speech pathologists actually do. And, you know, take it from there.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I just want to. Oh, go ahead.
Because, you know, you be ready, girl. So
you be ready, too.
So for y'all, like, being, I know that we talk about the unicorn and we, you know, we talked about the adversities and, you know, but what are, like, some perks that y'all be getting, like, as being Black male? I know y'all be getting some stuff. I'll be like, what do they? Because people are like, oh, you know, they get excited. look at that. I got George Best dressed. I know there's, like, some kind of perks.
Listen, and by the way, I just want to tell our listeners, especially at Asha, and Basla is just understood, but especially at Asha, all our men dress, and they dress very well.
To the nines. Yes.
Okay.
It's like a fashion show.
Like, I think Jonathan had like a 3-piece suit a couple years ago.
My gosh, yes, with some gators.
Okay. Okay.
It was a whole thing.
But it was cool.
Cultural thing.
And it was cool seeing y'all, you know, come by the table. I was like, okay, y'all doing their thing. Y'all doing their thing.
And, you know, people get excited to see y'all, the post. They want to come to all the men of Ben Bosley.
Listen.
Men, like, it's just a thing. So, like, listen. What are the perks? Like, what benefits do y'all be getting?
I mean, do we get some messages in the DMs? What we doing?
I mean, y'all have to say like everything, but like, what's something, I guess, special or memorable, or like, you know, the dude was like, ah, that's good.
I think Javen is in a better position to receive than I am. So, you know, I'd imagine we have different sets of perks, or access to different sets. I think the one thing, yes, we are in the minority, but that also means in terms of visibility, like, you can't miss this Black man, right? So
pick y'all out real quick.
So you walk into a room, all eyes on you. that can be a perk if you want it to be. It could also be intimidating. It depends on how you take it, right? But I think in terms of like seeking jobs, if if there are few Black men that apply and you're one of few, then you might, you might have, I don't want to say an advantage, because not necessarily an advantage, but it's easier for you to get the employer's attention. It's easier for you to be memorable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you're the only Black man that they interview. So even if they might not necessarily give you the job because you're a Black man,
right?
They sure as hell remember you.
That's they a perk.
So that's a perk.
That is perk.
Yeah.
Perk.
Yeah. I agree completely with what Dr. Castle just said. I mean, especially when it comes to like you put in the work, like you have your resume. I think that was one thing that helped me as well. You know, like, yeah, I created a presence for myself and to an extent, but then, you know, to back it up, I had the resume to go with it, you know, and I feel like there has been a lot more opportunities that have opened, not just because, hey, you know, hey, I was smarter than people and this, that, another, but, you know, me putting myself out there and, you know, me being a Black male, I do believe that as well, you know, so there are some perks along that side. And it has helped me to build my resume in areas where I feel like I'm more marketable, you know. And I'm not just going to say it was just because, I mean, hey, I got personality myself, you know.
Yeah, you do.
But yeah, I definitely believe so. I mean, and you do see it. And sometimes your colleagues, you know, they try to make it known, well, it's because you're the guy, you know. Like, okay, I'm the guy, but did you check out what I do? Like, what I have done, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that part.
So, yeah, I'm the guy, but this guy also has some, you know, hey.
A good skill set.
Right.
Exactly. Right. Now some skill sets there. And, you know, and it is one thing for you to have that book smart, but if you can't, like, carry it over and, you know, also have your people skills, have those soft skills. You're able to, you know, market yourself, because hey, you can have all the book smart in the world, but if you can't talk to these kids, if you can't talk to the families, I mean, that's half the job. That's more than half the job. You know what I mean?
That's the job.
Really.
I do feel like that's, you know, it's really important. And yeah, I do get some other perks, you know. hey, what just today. Just today, seriously. One of the teachers at the school, she was like, "Hey, I baked this cake and I was like, you know, no, thank you, but you got to try this cake." And I'm like,
"Okay." I do.
It's cool. It's cool. The cake is good. The cake is good.
Yeah. I bet.
You better get your armor on now, sir, because you just in your CF.
I'm trying to tell you. Look, I pray every morning.
This is gonna be the single mom gonna try to push up on you, because I've had a single dad push up on me. I was like,
okay,
listen. You just started. It's
fresh.
Yeah.
Good looking, charismatic brother.
Right? Yeah. He got the
little swab.
Yeah, got the prank.
Don't gas me up. It's only Monday.
I'm not gonna lie though. When I first met George, I was like, okay, who he talking to? Like, just to be nosy in the business or whatever. And then I found out your storyline, and I was like, okay.
Listen, I'm about to put George on blast. If I had a dollar every time somebody came up to me and was like, "Hey, so George Castle," I was like, "Nope, he's married."
Right. I could
probably like pay for all your meals at Asha. Like, I'm here. Like,
yes.
It never fails. And I was like, no.
And listeners, we know y'all can't see them right now, but you will be on our YouTube channel. But these two men also have presence, like they own a room. And I think that is so significant, like when, because you know, that's a level of confidence when a man, I mean, I just say, when a man can walk into a room and own it, everybody's like, dang, like, who is that? Like, I don't have to say nothing. They just walk in and you can feel the energy. Yeah. Like, that's just what they have and what they carry, which is like, makes us be like, hey, you know, introduce ourselves. And not in the sense of like that level, but like, you know, just to be, I want to know you. I want to know you just because of like how you carry yourselves as well. So, I mean,
I'm be honest, that the ones that was talking to me was not trying.
I know I was trying. I was just being nosy because I wanted to know the storyline of who talked to who, because he's not in my age category. So like, I was like, so who he like? Cause I see her looking and everything. So I just wanted to know, but
they want to know them, but then they also want to know them.
That's right. Biblical. That's biblical right there. That's biblical.
Them. Right. Okay. I just wanted to know the story so I could be like, ooh, let me sit my tea in a bit. Like, you know.
I do want to say though, like, you know, it as a unicorn, right? So black man, you know, you're one of few. So yeah, so we just spoke about the perks and all that. And it's good to be noticed. It's, you know, I you know, it feels good. But you know, it feels good. It's a sign. Yeah. But I think also though, it's also, I think black men also have to be wary of, because with that attention, with that spotlight comes a lot in terms of expectations, in terms of traps, in That's terms right. of hostility, in terms of jealousy, in terms of just various obstacles that come into your way because you're getting this attention. And so, you know, in some ways you're happy to receive the attention of being the only black male, but in other ways you feel like, at least for my part, I felt like I had to work to show people, no, I'm not here because I'm a black male. I'm here because of my pedigree. I'm here because of the work I've been. I'm here because, not because I'm a black male, but because I actually worked hard to learn the skill set. I've gone through the failures. I've gone through the imposter syndrome. I've gone through the late night studying. I've gone through the no sleep. I've gone through all of the things that people go through to make themselves a good clinician. And I got this job, I got this position, I got this post, I got this, you know, whatever it is,
right?
Because I actually put in the work,
right?
Because I'm this shiny new penny,
right? That part.
So I think it's important for people to know, like, yeah, it's cool to be the black male, but also we're not just riding on the fact that we black males,
right?
Y'all putting in the work.
You know, we're putting in the work, and a lot of times we feel like we have to put in the work because we're the only ones. So if you've never met a black male speech pathologist before, and I am the only impression that you have,
that's
a heavy burden.
That is.
I have to come with it. I have to show you, like, I'm putting in the work, and you know, I'm just as qualified as my white counterparts.
Yeah.
I don't want you to give me this job because I'm a black male. Yeah. I want you to give me this job because I actually deserve it. Yeah. I actually put in the work for it. And so that's how I approach everything. So it's sort of like, it's nice that you recognize that I'm the only black male, but also I want to be your best candidate, not your best black
candidate. Right.
Your black best male candidate. Right. I want to be your best candidate. And that's what I'm coming for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everything about me is going to suggest, hey, that's your best candidate. Everything.
Yeah.
And then they're
going to
be like, and he black.
Right. And then you can add that part after.
Right.
And he's good on the eyes. I guess we'll just
slide. And he's black. Right. And, you put that part up. And he's a black male. And whatever else you want to put on that.
Right.
But I want that to be on the back end.
Yeah. Right.
As opposed to the front end, like, oh, we're hiring this black male. No, we're hiring this really good speech pathologist. We're hiring this really good professor. mm-hmm. and he just happens to be Black. He just happens to be Black male.
That part. Yeah. You know,
That's how I want
to that can dress.
Well, I just wanted to say that I talk about y'all's bun and Basla, men of a Basla bun every place I go. I recently spoke at the NISLA at University of West Georgia, by the way, and there was a Black male there. And I was like, I need you to make your way. And I said, ever since, you know, the unfortunate and untimely death of Jelani Day, like, I already was doing it, but now it's like, every time I think a Black male, I'm just like, and Basla, you need to join in Basla, right? And so I just love how you guys keep up with each other. And that's what I say all the time. I'm like, only you guys know what you guys go through. And you are a unicorn. And you do have added pressure. Like, LP and I have pressure as a Black speech pathologist. But you guys, Black male speech pathologists, that's like a whole nother level. And so I just love how y'all connect with each other. And I think I found that out about Darius. I was hanging out with Darius and he was just like, oh yeah, that's so-and-so. And he worked here. Oh yeah, that's so-and-so. I mean, he was name dropping all these Black males. He not only knew their name, he knew where they worked. Like, I just really love you guys' bond. And I will continue to promote and uplift y'all and influence every Black male to get connected to you guys. Cause like Javen said, when he was going through what he was going through and feeling lost and I don't belong here, I can only imagine, like, you know, being maybe the only male, but like the Black male, that's a lot. And so I know Dr. Castle's mentorship and Dr. Matthews and all the other Black males that you have in your corner has definitely kept you going. So that's a bond that I hold dear to my heart, and I'm your biggest cheerleader. So
you're already starting.
And shout out to Darius, who's celebrating a birthday sometime around now. So yeah, Darius is another good brother. Got a lot to offer the world. A lot to offer the world. So yeah, when it's the way I see it is, if you win, I win. Like, we all win. And so when I meet brothers like Darius, like Javen, you know, there's a lot of other brothers that are doing it. It's just like a real win for us.
And it's
also the love that has been poured into me. Like, you know, Dr. Kenyatta Rivers, he's not here anymore, but he was one person that every time he saw me, he would just take the opportunity. He was consistent. Take the opportunity to pour into me. And like, it didn't matter where we were. Let me tell you, we could be in the middle of a restaurant and he'd be like, King George, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you, bro. Let me pray for you.
Yeah.
I mean, every time he saw me, he was like, let me pray for you. Let's talk about how school is going. Let's talk about, like, every time he saw me as a student, I was a master's student, I was a doctoral student, he followed me up through this. Dr. Tommy Robinson, same thing. When he saw me, he was just like, George, how are we going to get you to finish this dissertation? George, George, you got to call me, email me. We got to talk about this. Like, you know, there's a lot of good brothers that, you know, they see you and they pour into you.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm so appreciative of those, you know, those experiences that I just want to, like, give the next person and just, you know, and I know Javen's going to see the next person that's coming in that's looking at him. Oh, you have your master's. How did you do that?
Yeah.
What did you do? Tell me. You went to HBCU and a PWI. What was that like?
And you switched in your undergrad.
How do you do that? And he's going to have the story, but like, here, listen here, young blood. Let me school you the game right quick. And that's the way it goes. And that's the way it should go.
Yeah.
That's the way it should go. So, you know, I'm incredibly proud of what we are collectively achieving. But definitely there is a lot of work to be done. We still are really outnumbered.
Yeah.
This, you know, I think they need to start, and I'll go on record as saying it, but as a profession, they need to start paying us what we're worth. I think part of the problem with the recruitment of Black males is that there are Black males that have similar skill sets that go to other sectors, such as medicine, and get paid a lot more.
Or PT, because they get paid.
Or PTs, right? And they get paid. And so part of the problem is just like paying people what they're worth.
Yeah.
You know,
especially in the school system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We go to school, we study, we do all the things, and then we come out and we need to make a competitive wage in order to keep us here.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of the problem. And I hope that gets addressed. Yeah. Because if you raise the rates, you will see more males, particularly. So statistically, the males that we do have in the profession tend to be more in administration or the academy. So the males that we do have are taking jobs that tend to be higher paying. So, I mean, everybody likes money, but the statistics are trending in the direction of males in speech pathology gravitate more to the administrative, gravitate more to medical? Those types of positions.
Medical field? Because that's when I saw them more in Atlanta.
And, right. And medical, right. Mm-hmm. So in the hospitals, your chief of rehab.
Mm-hmm. Home health. Yeah.
Or the SNF.
Mm-hmm.
All those tend to be positions that male gravitates to gravitate towards.
Yeah.
So, but again, we need to. The other thing too. So number one is the wage, but I think number two, we still just like the awareness around speech pathology is still just not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's still not there, and I think there are a lot of people, particularly I think Black males in the school system, particularly urban school systems,
make
a huge difference.
Yeah.
Because I remember just like Javen said, like there were kids that just saw me as like, oh, that's a speech therapist. Oh, I want to be like you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like that presence isn't like, you know, that there's, you know, you see me every day in your school, but you don't know that I'm the speech, you know, the speech.
Yeah. Therapist.
And so just the awareness of what speech therapists do and where we work. I think if that awareness was there, more males, especially the impact you can have.
Yeah.
You know, particularly in urban neighborhoods, because there tends to be less males in general, less male teachers, less male father figures.
Yeah.
Less male everything. When you are one in that environment, it goes a long way. So kids want to be you. Kids gravitate towards you.
Yeah.
So I think if awareness was just increased in that area, we can get a lot more men.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I foresee maybe not so Asha, but more so in Bosla, because I'll let y'all know, because a lot of people don't know, we have now hit 900 members. And so I foresee in the next 3 to 5 years us being even more intentional about having materials ready for people to go into high schools or even tapping into different states and districts of where we have connections with to do that, because it does start early. Really in all the allied health. I mean, like you said, Javen, they know rappers, they know doctor, they know lawyer, but these specialties like radiology and all that other stuff, yeah, like that, they need to know that. But
we just need to go viral in the shade room. I said, I know.
Mom does that all the time.
I get it. You want to get your publication and how many hits you get, but that's cool. But that's only for us, right, Tariq? But when you hit it on social media, like the market aware, the community, you've made it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Shade room watch.
But LP's going to make that happen. I truly believe if we get on the shade room, it's going to be because of LP. Okay.
I'm just saying. For good. Right. Or that I said one of my ultimate goals in life is to be on the cover of Essence. I don't know who it's going to be with or what it's going to be for, but I just want to be on the cover for something. I think it's going to happen.
Listen,
who knows?
It's going to happen.
Shit. And then people will remember. And then it goes on Instagram. And then like you just, and people are like, oh, I want to be like when Kamala, you know. I'm just saying. That's what we got to get to.
Manifesting for real. Listen, it's the same thing with this podcast. She was just like, Lauren, if we just have one listener, 4,000 downloads later, here we are.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was like, we just need one person.
This was a great conversation. And as our guests, we have our guests do our speech tea of the day, which is basically a takeaway of our conversation. So you get to
come on, no.
Yeah, I know you, Jamie got notes over there.
Jamie is ready.
But each of you get to tell our listeners the speech the other day. Like, what do you want them to take away from our conversation?
Where do I begin? There were so many great points. Just understanding exposure. I think that's one thing. We definitely have to be able to not be afraid to use our voices in a way in which we, you know, promote ourselves, we promote our field, we promote our identity as a culture in general. You know, that's huge because, hey, like you said, we have many pictures and many images of us that are walking around and they don't understand where they're going exactly right now, but we can help them. We could be that light the same way, you know, my mentors, I keep gassing y'all, but I'm trying to tell you, Dr. Castle was for me, the way Lauren is for me, the way, I mean, I could just keep going. All of them. But no, seriously, I mean, that is such a vital component, you know, so I would say that's one of them, you know. Now, I can go through all of them now and document them all the time.
He can just listen.
But I can go through all of them. But one big point that, you know, Doc, how do I want to affect change? How do I want to affect change? And just, I think that's a question that we should always think about, you know, and understand that, hey, in every transition, there's going to be that question is going to pop up again, because that's only how you elevate. That's my motto, y'all. I'm big on that. How do we elevate? Just we elevate in general. But so how do I elevate, you know? So, hey, affect and change. How do I elevate? We getting up there. We going to shake the room.
I am elevate. So confident that you coming behind us, we going to be all right. He going to be the next sheriff in Boslov on his
right. Side. Okay. Like, yes. Right. Then when you let us get to you, you will be. We got you. Promotion and all, marketing. So you can be the next Asher president. Okay.
Don't do that to me now. Don't.
Another level, right?
Right. There are levels to this.
That's it. That's it.
All right, Dr. Castle, your turn.
You know, as I was thinking, so the you know, the involvement that I have in speech pathology right now, the hats that I wear, big shout out to the distinguished gentlemen of Iota Phi Theta Fraternity Incorporated.
Okay, I was wondering, don't shout out the Greek.
So, no, the reason why I say that is because, so I am a member of Iota Phi Theta Fraternity Incorporated, and a lot of the things that I experienced as a brother, a lot of the skill set that I now employ, I developed as a result of being part of this fraternity. And so I think sometimes when people look at fraternities and sororities they think, oh, this is just a social organization. All they do mm-hmm. is party. Mm-hmm. Or they do this because they want to get girls. Or they do this because, like, mm-hmm. no, we're actually developing life mm-hmm. skills.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And one of the first things that I learned how to do as a brother of Iota Phi Theta is just how to be at the table. Mm-hmm. So, like, my chapter, we would split up and we would target student, you know, the student organization, student governor organizations. You're gonna be on the mm-hmm. e-board of this one. You're mm-hmm. gonna be on the e-board of that. You're gonna be on the e-board of this. You're gonna be, mm-hmm. and we would split up, and together we're at the table everywhere. We're making decisions everywhere. We're moving and shaking everywhere. That's what attracted me to my chapter of Iota Phi Theta. And so it taught me how to navigate. It taught me how to be the only one. I was at a PWI, but I was making decisions with other club members and board members that were white, right? So I saw how they navigated. I learned Robert's Rules of Order. I learned mm-hmm. all these things
yeah.
mm-hmm. that you just don't learn socially if you're mm-hmm. not a part. So
yeah.
it definitely gave me a foundation to help me to now be part of a faculty and be part of various organizations and carry out some of the roles that I have. Gave me the, you know, the opportunity to practice public speaking and practice mm-hmm. all these things that I regularly yeah. employ. And so big shout out to all of the fraternities and sororities, not just Iota Phi Theta, but all of the Greek letter fraternities and sororities that actually help develop people.
Yeah.
The social part is a small part. It's a really small part.
Mm-hmm.
But in the grand scheme of things, I think our fraternities and sororities give us the opportunity to gain a skill set that we can employ in our professions. And so one of the takeaways, just as I thought about everything, is everything we spoke about, in every way I've done as part of my fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was real validation mm-hmm. for being part of the fraternity. Another takeaway that I have was just, like, you know, just hearing everybody speak was just the value of supporting other people. Like, it doesn't cost you anything to support somebody
mm-hmm.
else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? If somebody else is winning, it doesn't mean that you're losing.
Yeah.
Right?
There's Burger King, Chick-fil-A, Wendy's, McDonald's, Taco Bell. I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I mean,
it's all fast food, but yet they still right. all making it.
They all coexisting.
Real. Have you walked down the water aisle? You see all them different.
Dasani, Aquafina, Kroger, Walmart.
Exactly.
Like, we don't have to be crowded in a barrel.
Exactly. We do not have to be crabs in a barrel. So mm-hmm. listeners, if you see somebody doing their thing, don't yeah. just think that they're doing their thing. Tell them they're doing their thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let them know it doesn't cost you anything.
Mm-hmm.
As they say in these, they don't cost you nothing.
All four of us has either connected to someone else or have put each other on in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
All four of us.
Yeah.
When I think of admissions, I'm calling George. When I think of, like, someone, a young black male, I'm thinking of Jaden. Like, I mean, we are always throwing each other's names yeah. out in other circles. So
yeah. And so I want just listeners to continue doing that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Continue doing that, because that's really what's going to elevate us collectively and just keep mm-hmm. us moving forward. And so just continue networking, continue giving yourself grace.
Yeah.
Continue looking at the big picture, like, yo, who do I want to be? What do I want to mm-hmm. be? What impact do I want to have? And then take steps towards that, you know?
Yeah.
Those are the biggest, you know, takeaways that I have from the conversation. And it just really inspired me to continue doing what I'm doing, to continue developing, and to realize that you're really never finished. Every level that you get to, there are going to be challenges. You've never arrived. You're never perfect. You're never, you know what I mean? Yeah. So you just have to just continue learning and realize that it's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
Every time, as soon as it gets easy, it gets hard again because you're in a new
Write that down.
That is true. I don't want to go on the hill.
I made it.
Yeah. That's, you know, it just continually happens where you feel like you've arrived. No, you haven't. Something will knock you down and make you humble. Like, no, no, it's more to learn. It's more to learn. So just continue learning, continue loving.
Yeah. Now, I'll wrap this up by saying there's this guy that was getting a Tony Award. I told LP on the podcast once. On his acceptance award, he said, remember that the top of a mountain is the bottom of the next. And I was like, oh, that's good. And I remember that. So I wish I remember his name, but it was a black male again. I think a Tony Award. But yeah, so man, y'all dropping gems, even though Javen over there taking notes. He was dropping.
Javen got you. Javen gonna be ready for his next panel or
right
presentation.
Okay, so discussion presentations, all
right. Right. But thank you guys for coming. We are so excited that you guys accepted our invitation.
Yes.
Thank you for this opportunity as always. I really appreciate it. Definitely.
We always do part two. So
Thank you for having me on. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to you all and build with y'all and share with y'all, and I'm happy to come back whenever you want to talk again.
Yes.
Likewise.
All right. Well, till next time. Bye, LP.
Bye, Lulu.